Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God which we have for our instruction and meditation this morning is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 verses 22 to 40. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So far our text. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. When I was a child growing up, my mother was pretty good at keeping her eye out throughout the year for gifts for us children. She would, whenever she saw something on sale or something that she thought was a particularly good gift, buy it, even if it was many months yet until Christmas or our birthday, and hide it away in the house. Considering how many kids there were, and how many presents that translates into. And considering the fact that our house wasn't that large, you would think that us children would have, at least once in a while, stumbled across these presents before the time that they were to be presented or revealed to us. And yet, in all my childhood, I can't remember ever once seeing one of my mom's hidden gifts until the day that it was wrapped and set under the tree or on the table for our birthday. Perhaps some of the other kids did, I don't know, but I certainly don't remember doing it. In our text this morning, Simeon reminds us that the Lord also prepared gifts long in advance, yet he did not do it secretly or hide them away, but did it openly. Simeon says, before the face of all people. And yet, very few recognized or saw what he was doing, even on this day, when that gift of Christ is brought into the temple. There are a few who recognize it as the gift of the Father to the world, but only a couple. Nonetheless, the Lord entered the temple, the building that was built for him. And in his coming, Simeon reveals, brought not only the gift of himself, the most important gift, but with him brought a number of other gifts as well. Namely, and especially, Simeon references peace, light, and revelation. not only to the people of Israel, but to all people. Verse 29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. There are many different kinds of strife in this world. There is, of course, the strife of war, or the strife of two brothers fighting with one another. There's also the strife of a marriage, the strife that is caused by difficulty in our finances, and many others. Many of us might currently be dealing with the strife of mind and body that is caused by too many Christmas cookies. To which of these strifes is Simeon referring when he says, now you are letting your servant depart in peace? The answer, of course, is none of these. Simeon doesn't refer to any earthly strife or any earthly peace, but rather he is referring to the peace associated with heaven and with God, the peace that is given to us through the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, the peace that allows us to look forward to our death without difficulty. It is a peace that prepares us for death, not a peace which prepares us for life on this earth. Scriptures do indeed have a lot to tell us about our life on this earth. They have a lot to tell us about marriage and finances, guidelines for politics and education and family. And when we listen to the Word of God with regard to these things and heed the warnings and guidelines that He sets forth, we do see a minimum of strife on this earth. It does help us in our life on this earth. However, it will never get rid of the strife of this earth completely. And it is not the main purpose for which Christ came and for which He gave us His Word. The primary goal of Scripture is not to prepare us for the life of this world, but instead to prepare us for death and the life which is to come. Remember the hymn, "Teach me to live, that I may dread the grave as little as my bed." This is the peace and the truth which caused Simeon to rejoice at seeing the Christ child. Now I am ready to depart. Now I am ready to die in peace, having seen the salvation which Christ, which God has prepared for me from the beginning of the world. Scripture does not tell us how old Simeon is. He may have actually been a young man, although the context seems to indicate he was old. Not as old as Anna, but still elderly. Unless it doesn't say that in particular. And that's part of the point of Luke's gospel here, isn't it? That any of us at any age can be ready for death, at peace with seeing our Creator through the forgiveness of sins that is won for us in Christ. This is what He came to do. This is the goal of Scripture, to prepare us for death. And it ought to be the goal of our church and of every pastor. It's a good litmus test by which to judge if you ever have to go to a different church, or maybe even if you feel like asking the question even about this church and your pastor here, is he a good pastor? The question is, does he focus mostly, is the focus of the church mostly on preparation for that life to come? Or is it mostly on preparation for this life? What is the focus? The focus ought to be preparing for death and the forgiveness of sins which Christ offers as He comes. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Simeon also confesses that Christ comes as a light to the Jews and to the Gentiles, a light to all people of this earth. camping tip. If you turn a lamp on, better to do it in your tent or in a screen tent. Otherwise, you know what's going to happen. It's going to quickly attract all the bugs, all the moths. And if that lamp is over your head, then they'll be flying up there. Not really where you want the bugs. Just so also, Christ is a light which attracts all the sinners of this world, or at least all those who know that they are sinners and are looking for the consolation, as Anna refers to it, or as Luke refers to it with regard to Simeon, looking for the consolation, the comfort that comes by knowing our sins are forgiven. Just as a lamp attracts bugs, so Christ's birth attracts men from every corner, from every corner of the earth, coming, looking for that peace he gives. We've seen in our sermon text over the last few weeks the wise men and the shepherds. And this morning we see Simeon and Anna as well gathering around, being attracted like moths to that light of Christ. We confess in our beautiful hymn, that beautiful Christmas hymn, how should I not have known Isaiah would be there? And so we've seen Isaiah and Jeremiah and David and Abraham and Noah and even Adam and Eve, who also saw that light afar off and gathered around Christ in his manger. And Simeon prophesies this morning as well that that light continues to shine, gathering more and more, even us who are so far after the birth of Christ, bringing us to that manger. The people who in darkness sat, we are reminded. That phrase, the people who in darkness sat, is not a limiting description. In other words, it's not saying that the light shined to some people, namely those who sat in darkness. But it's the description of all people. All people sit in darkness, and the Christ of light's light has shined in that darkness. It's the only light in the darkness of this world, bringing us to the manger. To all people who have previously known nothing but darkness, Christ brings the light of his birth and of his word. And thirdly, Simeon tells us a revelation. A revelation to the Jew and to the Gentile, a glory to all the people. Simeon prophesied that this child would be a light shining into the hearts of people to reveal the thoughts of the heart. And we see that prophecy fulfilled immediately with the coming of Anna. For here, the Christ is a light shining and showing the thoughts and intents of her heart. The story is told of a bookstore owner who, when he was young, married his sweetheart. However, his wife was not happy living in a bookstore in a small town. She grew restless and discontent and was determined to leave and travel the world. The bookstore owner wouldn't leave, and so a wife left him. When it was clear that he could not dissuade her, he told her instead that he would set a candle in the window and keep it lit every evening in the hopes of her return. Many, many years later, she did return, and sure enough, there was the candle lit and waiting in the window of the bookstore. However, when she walked into the bookstore, the husband not remember her or know who she was. Although he had continued to light the candle every evening and place it in the window, he had forgotten the reason for the candle. It had become merely a ceremony for him. There are always two dangers with regard to our service and dedication to the Lord and to his word. On the one hand, we might become bored with God's word and the glorious gifts which he offers in it, and we might think that we already know it all and we don't need to continue to come to church and Bible class. We might become bored and, like that wife, run away seeking the adventures and entertainments of this world. Or, on the other hand, we may stay and go to church every Sunday and do all the things that we are supposed to do outwardly, but inwardly we have forgotten what we are waiting for. And when Christ comes to us in his word and in his sacraments, we may not recognize him or the joy that he comes to bring, in which case we are more like the husband. Christ's coming is a light which reveals the thoughts of our hearts. There were many in Israel who were very much like that husband, who were going through the motions, very religious, doing all the sacrifices, proclaiming the word of the Lord, doing outwardly everything that they were supposed to do very diligently, and yet did not recognize Christ for who he was when he came home into the temple that was built for him. There are others who ran away, bored with the ceremonies and the religious views. Christ's coming is a light that reveals this and whatever other thoughts are in the hearts of people. On the one hand, we have those like the high priest who remained but did not recognize Christ. On the other hand, we have people like Zacchaeus. You remember wee little Zacchaeus, who ran after the pleasures of the world, and yet Christ's light was a beacon calling him to return. But in this case, in Anna's case, we have one who stayed, who diligently served the Lord, and yet did not forget the reason for which she served, whose eyes were opened by the power of God's word to see the Christ when he came. Nathanael also, the apostle Nathanael, remember him, of whom Christ said, "This is an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile, is one like that," who was diligent in his service to the Lord without forgetting the joy and the reason for which he served. Anna was married for only 7 years and then lived alone for quite a long time, serving the Lord continually in his temple, day after day, coming up to pray and to worship the Lord. And yet without ever forgetting or losing sight of the reason and the meaning for that service. And the Lord granted her this gift that her eyes were open to see his coming. Christ is a light that reveals the thoughts of our hearts. And yet he doesn't reveal our hearts for the purpose of condemning us, but that light shines in our hearts to reveal the sin there in order that he might cleanse it. If we find in ourselves the tendency to run away after the pleasures of this world, Christ is that beacon, that light of joy and hope, calling us back to the peace of God. If we find in ourselves that tendency towards service which has forgotten the meaning and the joy of Christmas, Christ is the power of God, the light to strengthen and restore, as we sing every Sunday, "Restore unto me the joy of his salvation." In either case, that light shines in our hearts to reveal our sin so that we might be forgiven and we might be ready to stand before him on the day of our death and rejoice in the salvation that he has given to us. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.